You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Corruption Perceptions Index, which is published annually by the civil society organisation Transparency International, recently published their report for 2025. New Zealand had a positive placing, sitting joint fourth with Norway, although has been sliding down the rankings for the past 10 years. There are noticeable slips amongst other high-performing countries, and notably the United Kingdom, Canada and Sweden, along with New Zealand. I spoke to Matt Raskovic, Professor in International Business at Auckland University of Technology, about the rankings and what it means for Aotearoa New Zealand.
So there's basically two parts to this story. Transparency International, which is a leading global civic organization, every year publishes a Corruption Perception Index, or CPI, that's measured on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 meaning a country is completely corrupt, and 100 meaning a country is completely clean of corruption, right? So it's an inverted index. And based on this score, CPI score, then they publish a global ranking of countries according to perceived levels of corruption, right? So there's a global ranking that rank orders in any given year around 180 to 185 countries around the world. And this ranking is based on the Corruption Perception Index. So according to the latest ranking that was released a couple of weeks ago for 2025, New Zealand maintained fourth place, but its CPI score actually dropped by 2 points from 83 to 81. Now you would think, you know, why is this such a bad thing? Being top four in the world is still pretty good. If we take a step back and actually look at how New Zealand's CPI score has been doing in the last decade, then we see a much different picture. In 2015, for example, our score was 91 out of 100, right? In academic terms, we were an A-plus student. And we were ranked number one in the world in terms of the lowest perceived levels of corruption. Basically, we were the top student of the class, the gold standard for everyone. And over these last 10 years, every year our CPI score has been kind of dropping by a point here, 2 points there, and in the latest one, by 2 points. So we've come down from 91 to 81. Again, in academic terms, we've gone from an A-plus student to an A-minus student. What's even more worrying is that if this trend continues, as early as next year, we might drop out of the top performing group altogether and all of a sudden find ourselves in a B-plus group.
Can you speak to why New Zealand's ranking is falling?
Absolutely. So there's a couple of factors here. Overall, what we can observe is that a lot of top-performing countries, such as Canada, United Kingdom, Sweden, Switzerland, as well as the United States, have been dropping in their rankings and have also had significant decreases in their CPI scores. So as I've mentioned already, New Zealand's CPI score dropped by 10 points. As a comparison, in the same period from 2015 to today, America's CPI score dropped by 12 points from 76 to 64. So what we're seeing is, in some sense, not completely an isolated event for New Zealand, but the scale of this CPI score declines is much, much more significant. Now, I've mentioned that currently New Zealand is ranked number four, equal to Norway. 2 years ago, we were still among the top three. And while Norway, compared to the previous year, was able to maintain its CPI score, 81 out of 100, New Zealand actually dropped from 83 to 100. I know it sounds very technical. Basically, Norway maintained the same score, but actually improved its ranking, climbing from fifth place to fourth place, while New Zealand's CPI score dropped by 2 points, but we managed to barely maintain fourth place. So there's two parts to this story. One is how the actual CPI score is performing, and the other is then the rankings. And sometimes your CPI score can drop slightly, as in the case of New Zealand, and you still maintain the same ranking. Sometimes, as in the case of Norway, your CPI score remains the same, but actually your ranking improves because a lot of other countries have seen a decline in their CPI score. So there's kind of an absolute and a relative aspect to these rankings.
And I want to ask, you've mentioned some of these specific countries like Norway and the United States, but what are some of the overall global trends we are seeing in the index? And how do massive events like the election of Trump or war in Gaza impact the rankings?
So overall, over the last decade, we've seen quite a significant decline in a lot of top performing and middle performing countries. And this is a fairly new trend, right? You would expect from countries that have historically had very high levels of corruption, right? These would be countries in sub-Saharan Africa, for example, that, you know, their corruption landscape would further be deteriorating. But we're really seeing a new trend of, you know, strong countries that have safeguards in place to fight corruption, and that the landscape, the anti-corruption landscape in those countries seems to be deteriorating. And as I have mentioned, countries like Canada, countries like the United Kingdom, Scandinavian countries like Sweden, which 10 years ago were among the top performing countries, have seen drops in both in their rankings and in their CPI scores, as well as New Zealand and the United States that I have already mentioned. So 10 years ago, you would have had 12 countries that would have been in the A range, right? 12 countries whose CPI scores are 80 or above out of 100. Today, there's only 7 of them. So basically, the group of A students, top performing countries when it comes to corruption, anti-corruption activities and fighting corruption, has basically more than halved. What's really interesting is also 2/3 of all countries around the world would in academic terms be perceived as failing students, meaning that their CPI score is below 50 out of 100. The global average is 42. So on average, your average country around the world is basically a failing student when it comes to fighting corruption and anti-corruption measures. What we have seen this year is, for the first time, the global average CPI score has dropped from 43 to 42. Now you would think, okay, you know, 1% drop, what's the big deal? It's actually quite a big deal because at such a low base, every little change, particularly negative change, is a fairly big deal. And the fact that the global average has changed in the last decade for the first time tells us that there are structural forces and different factors at play at the global level that are really kind of contributing towards a global level decline in terms of how do we fight corruption. And we can say that perceptions of corruption are on the rise everywhere globally, in countries that have strong safeguards like New Zealand, as well as in other countries.
And I know this is a very complex issue and is probably quite country dependent, but what are some of the obvious solutions on a national level in Aotearoa, but also on an international level?
That's a really good question. And the headline for that question, the headline answer would be, the writing has been on the wall for over a decade, and the current and previous governments seem to not have been interested in addressing some of the issues that Transparency International New Zealand, academics like myself, have been kind of calling out for. So the good news is that New Zealand has a very strong and a robust anti-corruption baseline. And what that means is that if we put in place certain safeguards, we can fairly easy or relatively easily protect that strong baseline before it really gets eroded. New Zealand is the only country out of the Five Eyes countries, so out of these military strategic alliance with the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, and Australia that doesn't have a national level central government managed anti-corruption agency. Australia introduced the National Anti-Corruption Commission. It passed legislation in 2022, and it actually came into effect in 2023. And that resulted in a 2-point increase in its corruption perception index score, meaning that it improved significantly in terms of rankings. So the first thing is New Zealand needs to start thinking about having a clear, coherent, national-level anti-corruption strategy. And we should really consider establishing a national-level, central government-led anti-corruption agency. And the writing for these two things has been on the wall for a while, and there's various reasons ranging from complacency to special interests why the current or previous governments have not done much about it. In addition to this, Transparency International New Zealand and researchers that are studying corruption in a New Zealand context have for years been kind of pointing out to a need to strengthen and overhaul our lobbying rules. New Zealand has fairly lax lobbying rules. So how do special interest groups interact with politicians and political decision makers and policy makers? And our system for reporting donations to political parties is also fairly relaxed and intransparent. So in addition to having a clear national strategy and a national level anti-corruption agency, what we have to do is we have to make sure that our lobbying rules are fit for purpose and that there is greater transparency around political donations to specific parties. The recent government in particular has come under increased public scrutiny for having strong ties or strong affiliations with, for example, the tobacco lobby or the real estate lobby. And if you look at who were some of the biggest donors to the current government's current government, you would see that the real estate sector, for example, is one of the biggest donors, particularly to the national party. So there's a couple of things that need, let's say, overhauling or fixing. And again, the writing has been on the wall for over a decade. There is still time to fix these things. And we do not want to find ourselves in a position where our very strong anti-corruption core and the robustness and integrity of our institutions starts becoming a liability. So there's still time to fix it, but the time is now to really act before we start further slipping down the corruption rant.
That was Matt Raskovic, International Business Professor at AUT, on Aotearoa New Zealand's ranking in the Global Corruption Perception Index and the number of high performers who are backsliding.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.